Good morning, everyone. I'm Amy from Fontana House Church. Let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing all of us safely in your presence today. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Open the eyes of our hearts so we can see you better, know you better, love you more. May you speak into our hearts and lead us into your presence. May everything that is spoken comes from you and be glorified in your name. Amen. Today's Bible reading will be from Matthew 20, the laborers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last work only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have bore the burden of the day and the scorching heat?" But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside. And on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons. Kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever will be great among you must be your servant, and whoever will be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. So when I first read the passage, Matthew 20, I'm so deeply convicted of the spirit of self-righteousness and comparison in us, human flesh. Like the laborers who got hired first and thought they would receive more, we too thought we deserve more reward from God. Because we have known him earlier, we have done more for his kingdom, or simply because we are here for longer. We thought we are superior, hence deserve to have more earthly rewards. Perhaps deep down inside of all of our hearts, we could have said something like this: Hey God, of course you ought to bless me more than someone who has just known you. I want prosperity, career success, big house, wonderful relationships. We forgot we have agreed to work for a denarius at the very beginning. We should always already be contented with what we have. And also, time itself doesn't mean you are a better Christ follower, right? One thing that we have to remember is that the entrance to the kingdom of God is by grace alone, not by our work. I think there are two things that we, and other things that we forgot. We forgot God is God, and he has the ultimate say. In verse 15, the master of the vineyard replied, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" It's God who gives us a job and purpose in the very first place, or else we will still be standing here idle all day, wasting hours in life doing nothing. He sees us as our idleness, confusion, the lowest pit, and gives us the promise of love and eternal life. He is a generous and patient God. This story actually also reminds me of the elder son in the prodigal son story. If you remember, the elder son becomes so angry when the father wants to celebrate it and hold a banquet and cut the fattened calf because the younger brother returned. But remember the father replied at that time to the elder son, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." So we have God. I think question for this morning is God enough? Is the promise of salvation enough? Or do we desire so much more in life, like relationships, finances, power, provision, recognition, achievement, that somehow the real motive behind our prayer and worship is to get something from God? Are we arguing who is the greatest, desiring to sit at the left and the right of Jesus, like that of the James and John and the request of the mothers of the Zebedees? Ultimately, God cares about our hearts more than anything. So I'm changing my perspective to see from the perspective of the workers who actually joined late to work for the vineyard. Just wondering what they might be thinking at the fifth hour already in the market. They might be lost with doubts, looking for purpose and meaning of life as well, but no one cares for them. And I think the reason why they answer, "Oh, because no one has hired us." There is a very strong victim mentality here. But so glad God sees us, draw us, and give us the chance to know him, love him, and serve him. When I read this, I feel like, oh, it's so lucky. Luckily, there's no favoritism. Luckily, I'm not forgotten. And luckily, I still have the same promise and reward, even though I'm late to the party. I still got the one denarius, and all our reward based on his grace. God is love. He hasn't forgotten about us, and there's no delay in him. He has his plan and purpose in mind. His ways and thoughts are not something we can understand. What God has promised will come. The eternal reward is the same, and he will not withhold goodness to those who love him. And I also find, luckily, he is persistent. Just thinking of my family who hasn't known Christ yet, it just gives me so much reassurance that family salvation would also come, because ultimately God ministers to every single one of them and he draws people to him. Reflecting on his nature, and God promised in the Bible, "I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness." Perhaps we are all blind, like the two blind beggars, and we need some humility. Like John and James' mother who request to be seated next to Jesus, we are blind to our selfish desire and self-centeredness. There's always something we go to God to ask, and that's why we do this and that. We are looking to prove ourselves, hoping we could be better. But it's time to recognize, and let us not be self-righteous. Let us not compare. Let us humble down ourselves and know that God is the giver of all things. So from Ephesians 2:7, grace is given to us according to the measure of Christ's gift. May we be like the two blind beggars with insight and deep conviction inside to show, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." When we serve with true joy and delightful hearts. May I invite the worship team to come to the stage, and let's close our eyes. At their moments in life, we're so self-righteous. We compare and think we deserve more earthly rewards because we are here longer. Let's ask God to take away the spirit of performance and instead teach us to put our treasure in heaven and not on earth. Do every task that God delegated to us joyfully, wholeheartedly, even with just one denarius as the reward. Is it enough? Is God enough? Be willing to say yes to everything you freely give to us.
Jesus.
Let's pray the intercessory prayer from the womb. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the prison ministry. We are in such joy to uphold the prisoners and their families to you. Lord, we lift up these people, for you know their hearts and cry. Lord, many are hearing the word for the first time, and we can see a stir in their hearts and tears dropping with joy as they hear the word of God in their own heart language. God, continue to work in every prisoner that comes and hears your words so that they will catch the fire to seek your face daily and to fall in love deeper with you and start to pray for their cellmates who don't know Jesus. Lord, we take their chance to pray for the inmates' families for your comfort, joy, and peace, and that they will also come to know the loving grace of the true living God. We surrender everything into your hands and trust that you will pull us forth. Let your glory fall on all, and we want to see your signs, wonders, miracles in the prison, just like in the book of Acts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Let's come up front. Let's sit in a circle to pray. Church's meeting tonight. Let's pray for all the house churches meeting. This is the last week before I'm going to break. Let's also pray for the different church plants in the different places. And their leaders, pray for wisdom and guidance on how they lead the different church plants. Also want to pray. Peace, something you want to share?
My second granddaughter, who still in Fiona womb, the doctor said there is a problem regarding her heart. So right now, nothing that a doctor can do, just wait till deliver at the beginning of July. Hopefully when deliver, the missing part of not growing part can grow in this 3 months. Otherwise, maybe need to do heart surgery or something like that. In these 2 weeks, they are waiting for DNA test. Hopefully that from this DNA test, there are no other problem. There are no, her name is Anna. Yeah, so keep in prayer for Anna.
Let's pray for Anna. Let us also continue praying for Hazel, Isaac, and Eddie. So now we're opening up the time. If you guys have any prayer requests, feel free to share here as well so we can all pray for you.
So during worship, I feel the Lord was saying, Colossians 3:2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. I want to lift up all those prayers. Yeah, all the people that we are praying for. That they are hidden in Christ. We are hidden with Christ in God, and our old life died. Now is we are new creation. The old have gone. And old things have gone. Old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. So we declare newness in them. I declare that they will have a mind transformation, like a mind upgrade, God, in the things that they think and meditate upon, and that. We set our mind, God. I pray that we're setting our mind on God, on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. I pray for rising up above the circumstances. I pray that we will fix our eyes on God, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, Jesus, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. We are praying to Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God. We are not victim, God. We call us to be victim. We call us to be overcomers. So I speak to all those who are praying for the circumstances that they will overcome. They will be overcomers. They will rise up. I speak to the identity right now that they will rise up. They will be overcomers. They are called to be victor. Also, thank you for Jesus that we can pray to you, and you are praying for us right now. You are not powerless, you are powerful. And when we are hidden in Christ, Christ, who is our life, will be revealed. When He is revealed, we will also be revealed with Him in glory. I pray for our expectation to see the glory of God in all the situation, all the circumstances that we encounter. Father, we trust You, God. We lift up the situation before You. We lift up baby Anna. We lift up Sam and Fiona. We lift up the family before You, that they will rise up, God, above the circumstances. That Lord, You fill them with peace and shalom, because we are Your sons and daughters, God. We are your child, your children, and then we ask that You fill us with shalom. You fill us with peace, joy, God, and wisdom, God, coming from above. Wisdom coming from above. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Anyone else? If not, we could split into smaller groups of twos and threes, just share and pray for each other.